but I'm not going to give the devil the benefit of the doubt to keeping me quiet. It's been a rough year this year. A rough year. One of the roughest years ever of my life. But you know what? I'm standing stronger than I ever have. My resolve to serve God is stronger and stronger. So he might as well just leave me alone, because I'm not going to quit. You know, I've had, you know, a couple of weeks ago, my sister's on her deathbed. I got a job that's so demanding that I want to quit, but I got to feed my family. I had a 19-year-old daughter that was real sick, and then I had another son that I was having problems with, but it doesn't matter, because really all we need is him inside of us to make it. See, it doesn't matter in life, you know, what is said about you, or what's done or what isn't done, or what trial or what tribulation you go through. See, God remains the same. He's faithful inside our spirit. See, it doesn't matter. His wisdom is holy and it's undefiled. There's not one thing in the world that we can't make it through with him on our side. Nothing. Nothing. And now this, the biggest battle of my life is, you know, the doctor telling me that I'm legally blind. They want to put me on disability. But you know what? You mark my words. You mark my words. I guarantee you my sight will be restored back to 2020. I promise you that I'll sit here in due season and I'm going to brag to you about how good God is when I get all my vision restored. Every single bit of it. Doctor said you need to fill out the disability papers because you're not going to get your sight back. You want to bet, mister? You want to bet that I'll get it back? I got scared the first day. I ain't going to lie to you. You know, you think, God, I'll never be able to see my kid's face again, my wife's face. But that's fear. You know, there's no fear in God's kingdom. There's no anxiety or stress in God's kingdom. I promise you this. I promise you. I'm going to make this. I got the support of an awesome pastor. I got the support of my kids and you watch. We're going to laugh at this. And I said that to say this, that you watch how faithful my God is. You watch how he pulls me through this. The last few nights, I've just been in countless hours of just praying and praying and just, you know, one thing through this whole ordeal. Through this whole ordeal, not once have I even come close to blaming the Lord. Have I even come close to saying within my mind that I'm a victim? No, I'm not a victim. The Bible says that Jesus gives life and gives it more abundantly. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The one thing I admire about King David was that out of 20,000 soldiers of Israel, only one man, 5'2", had the courage to fight the giant. Out of 20,000 soldiers, one shepherd had the courage to fight a man almost 10-foot tall. I heard my mentor say, Dave Roberson, that he would rather die swinging at Goliath than not try at all. He'd rather die taking a swing at him than not try at all. But God is so faithful, man. I just know at the bottom of my heart that all my sights can be. I thank all of you for the phone calls, Deidre and Jackie and McEnroe and Jimmy, all the guys that have checked on me. I'm going to win. I'm going to be there every Friday night watching my boys play. I don't know how to quit, man. Jesus pulled me out of too much for me to ever go back in the junk I used to be in. And he's faithful. And he's worthy. I told my daughter last night as I was worshiping the Lord in my living room, I just kept singing to the Lord. I looked at her eyeball to eyeball. I said, Julie, I want you to want to tell you one thing, baby. It is never the fault of Jesus Christ in life. I don't care if one of my kids dies prematurely. I don't care if I die in a car wreck. I don't care what the circumstances. It is never the fault of my Lord and Savior when bad things happen in life. My God is 100% love. He cannot kill. He cannot inflict you with disease. You can't find it in the New Testament. You can't find those accusations against Jesus Christ in the New Testament. On the contrary, He healed them all as He walked this earth. Simon Peter's mother-in-law lay in bed with a fever. The fever left her. The little damsel that was dead, He spoke to the little girl. He said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." She arose. People had leprosy in the Bible. He spoke the word and said, "Be healed." And they were healed. Not one time in the Bible have I ever read in the New Testament where God inflicts sickness on a person. If Jesus was here today, He'd walk through them walls in His glorified body. He'd lay His hands on me and immediately I would receive my sight. That is the kingdom of God, my friends. Don't ever blame Jesus. I don't care if my wife leaves me tomorrow. I can't ever say that I'm a victim of circumstances. Because my God is faithful. And He's true. If I die tomorrow, don't ever say, "God, why did you let this happen to my friend, Pastor Omar?" No, it's never His fault. It is never, you hear me, it is never the fault of my Savior. On the contrary, He is that strength inside of our spirit that guides us through every trial and every tribulation. It's been a rough year, man. But I stand stronger than ever in my faith in Christ Jesus. One day Jesus told Simon Peter, as thousands of His disciples fell away from Him, and one day Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "Simon Peter, will you too walk away from Me?" Simon Peter said these remarkable words to Jesus. He said, "Lord, where can I go? You have the words to eternal life." "Well, I'm stronger than ever, Dietrich. Was I scared at first? Yeah, a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But I'm telling you, it's just pushed me into God a little bit more and more. Last 3 or 4 nights, it's countless hours in His presence. Hearing the Bible." I said, "Lord, I got to get my healing back because I got to be able to read my Bible." So please, guys, don't feel sorry for me. Don't think I'm a victim. Because my God will see me through this. He did not inflict me with this. He gave me several warnings in my spirit about the way my eating habits were. I promise you this. My eating habits have changed. I can't find the Debbie cakes no more, but I'm going to look for them. But you watch the way, you just watch and see the way my God pulls me through. I promise you, I will stand taller and my eyesight will be restored. If there's anything better than 20/20, I'm going to get it. Amen. So what I preach to you, I can't read from the Bible, but I got it in here. We started, we had a great crowd. I was hoping everybody would come back again so we could go into phase 2 of forgiveness like we did last week. I heard a lot of good reports about last week's teaching. The power of God was so strong last week. I don't know, everybody's getting their hair did, weaves today and haircuts. But we're going to take it to another level. I won't keep you long. You know, I don't preach long. The disciples in Matthew 18, they went to Jesus and they asked him, they said, Lord, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I'd be embarrassed to ask Jesus that, Courtney. They said, Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The Bible says that Jesus got a little child and set them in the midst of them. The 12 that asked Jesus, the 12 disciples that later went on to be apostles. He got a little child, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. Is David in here, baby? Come here, David. Hurry up. Hurry up. Come on. Come on. Run, 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 run. There you go, Coach Ackley, your next running back. The Bible says that the 12 disciples, now listen to me carefully. Say, Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus got a little child, Deidre, and he set the little child in the midst of the ones that asked him. He said, unless you be converted and become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, unless you humble yourself as this little child, first you got to be converted and become as a little child. And he said, if you want greatness in the kingdom of God, humble yourself as this little kid. Go sit down, son. I said, Lord, who's the greatest, they said, in God's kingdom? Who's the greatest? Well, you would think that Jesus would say, the man who has all the Bible verses memorized. You'd think Jesus would say, the one that can articulate the most, the one that can preach the best, the one that can get really emotional when he preaches. But Jesus said one thing. He said, you want greatness in my kingdom? He got a little child and set him in the midst of the ones that asked. He said, lest you be converted and become as a little child, you have no place in God's kingdom. Now you got to know how to read the Bible. The Bible is ministered to an entire subject. When a subject starts, the subject has an ending. At the very last part of Matthew 18, all through chapter 18, it talks about offending a little one. It talks about if one's offended, how to handle an offense. It talks about offending one, about taking an offense. And Simon Peter, the same one that asked him, Lord, who is the greatest in your kingdom, says, Lord, how many times a day shall I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? He said, no, not up to 7 times, but up to 7 times 70. Same subject. Jesus is answering a question that was asked in Matthew 18 and 1, that who is the greatest in God's kingdom? Later on, Jesus went to teach about not taking an offense. Not given an offense. And Simon Peter says, Lord, how many times a day shall I forgive my brother? Why do you think Simon Peter asked Jesus that question? He said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother in one day? Jesus said, not 7 times, but 7 times. 490 times a day, Jesus said. In other words, he was saying, you forgive as much as you can. Why do you think Simon Peter asked that question when he had just asked Jesus who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because Simon Peter was walking in offense. Because Simon Peter had offended. And he walked in offense. He said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive Deidre? How many times shall I forgive Miss Rosie or McKenzie? Or how many times shall I forgive Coach Ackley or how many times shall I forgive Pastor Homer? How many times? 7 times, Jesus? Simon Peter, no, not 7 times. But 7 times 70. 490 times a day, Jesus? In other words, forgiveness. Is to be extended. The blood of Jesus is to be extended. As much as we have to. But they asked, who's the greatest in God's kingdom? He said, lest you be converted and become a little child, you have no inheritance in God's kingdom. And then Jesus went on to teach her about 8 or 9 verses on forgiveness. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you want greatness in His kingdom, there can never be grudges against anybody. There can never be grudges against anybody. No matter what is done, no matter what is said, it doesn't matter. You never, ever in this life with Jesus Christ, you never, ever have to defend yourself, man. As long as you know that you're right and your Heavenly Father knows that you're right, it doesn't matter what's said about you. It doesn't matter. Let them say what they want to say. Let them do what they want to do. Jesus said, if you want greatness in my kingdom, you must learn to forgive. You put a little child in the midst. He said, unless you be converted and become as a little child, you have no inheritance in God's kingdom. But why a little child? Why? Little child can fight with another little child, and in 5 minutes they're playing again. They don't hold grudges. They're playing again. If they fight again in 5 minutes, 5 minutes later, they're playing again. He took a little child and set them in the midst of His 12 disciples. He said, you want greatness, boys, unless you're converted like that little child. And become like him, you have no inheritance in my kingdom. And then he went on to talk about at the end of 18, about forgiveness. See, a little child will take his Tonka toy away from the other kid for about 5 minutes. Usually the parents will fight over the kids fighting. The little kids laugh and they forgive each other. Forgiveness is what got me and you into the kingdom. 23 years ago, I was addicted to crack cocaine. I was addicted to pornography. I was no good. I hated my wife. I was a terrible father. I used to put alcohol in my daughter's bottle at the age of 4 or 5, and give her beer in her bottle, let her walk around, stumble all over the house like a dummy. And I used to laugh. That was my life. But then one night, as I was playing Russian roulette, I had so much cocaine on the table, there's enough cocaine to kill a horse, Deidre. We're playing Russian. We had so much cocaine in our system that a horse could have been overdosed and killed. And I remember my friend said, hey, let's play Russian roulette. And we all were so wired up that we did it. And I went and got a .357, put a bullet in there, spun the chamber. My first friend, when he went, put it in his head and laughed, and it didn't go off. And we laughed. And my second friend went, put it under his chin. We did it. We were so strung out, it didn't matter. Put it under his chin, and he went off, and the bullet didn't go off. It was my turn. I spun the chamber, and I put it, and the gun went off, shaved all the back of my hair, and shattered my window in my house. And we laughed. But I remember that day that my wife walked in. She said, what happened? And then I won't ever forget these words. She said, what was I supposed to tell your daughter? That those were your brains splattered all over the place. And at that moment, a conviction and a change in my heart began to work in me. And a week later, I got on my knees, Deidre, by myself. And I said, Lord, I can't take my lifestyle no more. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I said, forgive me of all my dirty deeds, Jesus. Forgive me of my perversion. Forgive me of my darkness. Forgive me of all the things that I've done. See, forgiveness got me into the kingdom. His blood was shed so that I would be forgiven, so that I'd have a place next to the Father in heaven. It was all based on forgiveness. My entrance into heaven, His entrance into my heart was based on forgiveness. So if my salvation is based on forgiveness and I'm to walk in forgiveness the rest of my life, who am I to hold a grudge against my brother? My mentor says that we can't even afford to get mad at each other. You want greatness? You want peace in your life as a Christian? Walk in forgiveness. If you want torment, then choose to hold a grudge. Well, Pastor, we don't know what they said. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they said. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Does not matter what they said. As long as God Almighty, as long as God knows the truth, and you know it, it's okay. So unless you be converted and become as a little child, you have no place in God's kingdom. They want to know what it took to be great in God's kingdom. He said, you want greatness? Learn to forgive. Now, he didn't say learn to forgive. He said forgive. Is it hard sometimes? Yeah. But you want freedom. You want all the access that God has in His kingdom. All the benefits that He has. Learn to forgive. Walk in forgiveness. Don't get mad at nobody. Omar, I've seen you mad before. Yes, I don't walk in everything that I preach. But I do know enough. I can be mad, but I'll stay mad for 5 minutes. See, it's never anybody else's fault in life. Never. If you lose your peace in life, if you get mad, it's because you had the capacity to lose it. It is never anybody else's fault. The book of Romans says that sin shall not have dominion over us. Romans says that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. 1 John says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. There's a God that lives inside of me and you that gives us a peace and an understanding that this world cannot comprehend. We ought to live. We ought to live. We ought to live for people to be rude to us so that we can show them how much of Jesus we got inside of us. We ought to live for people to slander us and to talk about us so that we can let our light shine like a city that's set on the hill. We have to live for those moments when somebody's mean and ugly to us so we can stand firm and be that light, that city that's set on the hill like Matthew talks about, where they ridicule us because of our faith. But we stand firm in our conviction, not moving, knowing that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. We ought to live for those moments when a dark and nasty, ugly, perverted society is mean to us just so we can show them the love of God. We ought to live for those moments. We're supposed to be the difference makers in life. Jesus said, if you want greatness, He didn't say it's how many scriptures you could quote. He didn't say attending church would bring greatness in His kingdom. He didn't say a preacher that articulated well would be great in His kingdom. You got a little child, did you, and put him in the midst. So unless you become, unless you're converted, become like a little child, you have no place in my kingdom. And He said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, He said, humble yourself as this little child. And the latter part of that teaching in chapter 18, Courtney, He talked about forgiveness. This is the thing about forgiveness or unforgiveness. If you choose to walk in the fence towards somebody, you choose to ignore them, you're locking yourself up in a spiritual prison. Well, I don't like that person, what they did to me. That's fine. And you might have a case there in the natural. But in God's kingdom, there are no excuses. There are no offenses given. And there are none taken. You want greatness in God's kingdom. Walk with a forgiven heart that does not hold aught against anybody. Because your very salvation was based on you being forgiven of your sins. We can't even afford to get mad at each other. That is being great in God's kingdom. Don't blame nobody. Because nobody here has suffered like the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody has took the mark of the Jews of 40 minus one lashes on their back. Nobody has had a crown of thorns pressed down on their brow here for perfection. Nobody here has. Yet Jesus is the perfect prototype of what me and you ought to strive to be. He is the perfect example of what we ought to strive to be. Not me, guys. I'll fail you in life. Don't ever keep your eyes on me. Because if your eyes are set on me when I fail you, you won't forgive me. But if your eyes are set on Jesus when I fail you, you'll forgive me. But Jesus is the perfect prototype. The perfect example of what me and you ought to strive to be. We got to walk free in our spirit. We got to walk free. You hear me, son? We got to walk free. It ain't over for you, son. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. But you got to walk free in your heart, son. We got to walk free. We got to walk free. I'll fight with you to the end. You know I will. No grudges, Christians. No grudges. No ought in our heart. No hatred. So what if I get mad at Deidre tonight and I don't? Deidre is, he's like my own. He knows that. So what if I get mad at him tonight? He's at my house watching TV, eating dinner with me, and I get mad at him and I choose to cuss him. And he leaves my house all mad at me and drives to the village and he wrecks and dies. What then for me? You know, how am I going to feel the rest of my life? We can't afford to be mad at each other. We can't afford to have aught in our hearts. We can't afford it. That is being converted, believing in Christ and becoming as a little child. Greatness in God's kingdom is found whether or not we choose to forgive. Now, we all have plenty of opportunities to walk in unforgiveness towards people. We all have. And I'll say this, and I'm almost done. We can't afford to have aught in our hearts. There's freedom in Christ. We are the light of this earth. We are that city that's set on a hill. The Bible says in Matthew 5 that no one lights a candle, puts it under a bushel, but they light a candle and they put it on a lampstand so that it can give light to all that are in the house. We let our light shine by walking in the love of Christ. When? All the time. The book of 1 Peter says, be holy as I am holy. And I'm done with these last words in 5 minutes, and we're going to worship a little bit. I believe it's the book of 1 Timothy, where Paul writes, I believe it's, you know, maybe Titus, Barbara, if you know, where Paul says, or maybe it's Philippians, where Paul writes that he's bound in chains, but he is not bound. Paul, we know, faced the mark of the Jews 5 times. Paul received the 40 lashes minus one. Paul was stoned to death, shipwrecked, hungry. Every bone in his body was broken. Why? Because of his faith in Christ. He would not renounce that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. Paul was put in prison and he writes, he said, I'm bound in chains, Deidre, for the gospel's sake. I'm shackled up, Deidre. I have chains on my legs, chains on my arms. I can't move, Deidre. But as a Roman citizen, he was entitled to write once a month. So he would write the epistles, Dear Deidre, most beloved Deidre, I write to you in chains, telling you that I'm bound up in chains, Deidre. But while I'm bound up in chains, Deidre, I'm actually not bound up. What do you mean, Paul? You're bound, but you're not bound. What do you mean? See, we think we got it rough nowadays, man. Paul said, I'm bound up in chains, Mackenzie. But I'm not bound. In essence, he was bound by chains because of his faith in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm bound, but I'm not bound. Why are you preaching tonight, Pastor? Well, Satan for a season has took my eyesight for a season. For a season he has. He's going to lose them. How do you know? Because the Bible says he loses. He's trying to bind me up, Deidre. But Paul says, I'm bound in chains, but I'm not bound. This is what he was saying. I'm bound up in chains because of my faith in Christ, because of my stand that I make in Christ. I'm bound, but I'm not bound. Meaning this, I might be in chains for the gospel's sake. I might go through trial and tribulation because of righteousness' sake. I might go through trial and tribulation because I serve Him. I might go through trial and tribulation. I might be chained up. I might be in a Roman prison. I might be bound up, but I'm not bound. This is what he was saying. See, our operation is internal. We say Jesus come in our heart and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of our heart. There's freedom in our heart. It don't matter what they do to us. It don't matter what's said about us. We can be bound in chains in prison, but our operation is internal. No one can keep me from loving them. You might hate me. You might talk about me. You might put me in prison. But you might bind me up in chains. But you can't keep me from loving you. You can't keep me from forgiving you. Because my operation is internal. See, Satan come for a season. He took my eyesight, Deidre. But he can't bind the work of God within my heart. He can't stop me from worshiping Jesus at night. He can't stop me from confessing God's word at night. He can't stop me from praying in the Spirit. I won't give him the benefit of the doubt of not preaching. The day's coming, young men, young women, in order to confess Jesus Christ in this great nation, we're going to face tribulation. We're going to face it. It's our time to grow in Christ. We can't be held back. We can't be held back. No matter what the circumstance, we can't be held back. We can't be held back. Freedom in our hearts. The blood of one Jewish man was shed on the cross for the remission of our sin. Anytime there's been freedom, there's been bloodshed. Every war fought, there's been bloodshed. Anytime there's been a freedom or deliverance, there's been bloodshed. Our freedom was made manifest because the blood of a holy God was shed on Calvary just because He loved us. And the black man wasn't slaves by the South. This is why I hate, you know, this is why I teach all of you. No one can hold you down, man. The blood of millions of men, or maybe thousands of men from the North, was shed so that the men in the South, the black men of the South, could walk free. See, that's never mentioned. The South wanted slavery. The North said no. But there's been freedom. There's been bloodshed. No one can hold you down, friends. Our freedom came at the expense of Jesus Christ, where He shed His blood for us so that we could walk in freedom. Kuwait was liberated by the blood of American soldiers. African Americans were liberated with bloodshed, and all lived freely in one accord in this world. Respect it. Live it. Love it. Greatness in God's kingdom is found through a man or woman that chooses to walk in forgiveness. Tomorrow's not guaranteed, friends. As y'all know my heart when it comes to football, I've been in this town my whole life. I've coached many of you growing up. Get along with each other. Spend time with each other. What you got is so special. Build chemistry with each other. Build chemistry with the coaches. We can do this, man. Pray together on the field. Work hard. No art. No hard feelings. Dignity, respect, and integrity. Forgiveness is how we live. We were made to overcome trials. We were made to overcome tribulation by the Spirit of God that lives inside of me and you. No hatred. No ought. Just freedom in Christ. That's greatness in God's kingdom. No one can stop me and you. Because the Spirit of Almighty God lives inside of me and you. We have been born again. Saved and sanctified, separated from the world. It's time to bring God glory and honor by our conduct. We should be so different from society. We should be so different from society. They ought to be able to tell and not ask you, Dad, I say, my God, what's that McKenzie? He's different. What is it about that young man? Alex, he's different. What is it about him? They ought to be able to see God in us. That Homer, he's different. They ought to be able to feel the presence of God as we walk right by him. That Courtney, my God, she's different. Yes, God lives inside of her. It's our time, friends. It's our time as believers to bring glory to God. It's our time. So when you think about being mad at somebody next time, think about my little son David. He said, unless he be converted and becomes a little child, you have no place in God's kingdom. What's a little child do? They forgive. They forgive. They forgive. Amen. They forgive, and forgiving is forgetting. You do not have the right to ever bring it up again. It's our time to bring God glory. It's our time to bring Him glory. By our conduct in Him. No anger, no ought. Just a forgiving heart. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please.